Guys, be seated. For those of you who grew up Baptist like me, it's called the Holy Spirit, okay? Listen, if that had broken out of my church, I'd think we'd have been trying to check things out, trying to figure out what's happening. Because I grew up Baptist, okay? So those of you who did, you know what I'm talking about, okay? We believed in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We just didn't talk about the Holy Spirit a whole lot. So, because he was scary, because you can't control the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he lives inside of us. And when we come together, we bring the Spirit into this place, which is why I say every Sunday, thank you for bringing the church into this building. The church is not a building, it's a people. And when we come to make much about God, lives change. Scripture says this, Jesus is talking red letters, and he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Well, we're going to talk about that this morning. Before we go and we dismiss the kids, I want us to say our Bible verse with the kids in the room this morning, okay? So if you've got your bulletins on the front, we've been saying this one for a while. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Of course, I memorized it a little bit differently than it's on the front, but that's okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17, let's say it together, okay? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Amen. Amen. We're going to dismiss our Grace kids at this time. So if you would let them know how much you love them. We love you guys. Have fun rocking it. Oh, I missed you twice. Oh, I got you. Nice. I don't know if you guys see it on Sundays or not, but there are times where during the worship, the kids will be up here twirling and dancing. I just think that's cool. If I were to twirl and dance, y'all would think I've lost my rocker, okay? It wouldn't be pretty because I'd probably fall and break something. If you haven't noticed, some things have changed a little bit, just a little. The stage is a lot bigger. The piano's been moved. God's doing some great stuff. We're trying to kind of update the building a little bit. And so you're going to see some things happen. Pastor Terry's going to talk a little bit more next week about kind of where we're at and where things are going. But it's exciting. I just got to tell you, we figured up yesterday was, what, over 200 and something man hours that people have been putting in since last week, Sunday, and tearing stuff down and rebuilding things. And we had a large crew up here yesterday cleaning out the kids' playground area. If you've never been to the playground area, I just want to encourage you to go that way. If you've got some playground equipment or something at your house, maybe you're a parent and your kids have grown past that, but it's still in good condition, would you pray about potentially donating it? It's kind of sad when you walk out there to the little kids area to think, they play on this, the kids don't care, okay? Because I remember being a kid, I mean, I was cool with a rock and a stick, you know, it was like great, because that's all we had back then. You know, it was like right after mud was developed, I know, so... But if you've got anything that you'd like to donate, that would be great. But we were up here working hard yesterday, and so you're going to see some things change. You're going to see some things happen, and I just want you to know God's moving. Grace wins every single time. Now listen, got to be honest. I was not a drug dealer, never done drugs, okay? I've not been a prostitute down on the corner. I never robbed a bank. I've never killed anybody. My testimony, if I were to tell you, would be boring. Some of you would be like, yeah, okay, whatever, Ryan. Yeah, you really needed grace. If it wasn't for grace, I know I would have gone down that road. I remember talking with a guy that I met who used to be the U.S. head of the Medellin drug cartel back in the 80s. And I had the opportunity to sit in his office and do some work with him. He came here to Palatka back in the early 2000s for an event that we did down by the riverfront, and he shared his testimony, and I remember listening to his testimony. I mean, the dude had everything he could have ever had. He had armed guards with machine guns. He had any woman he wanted. He had all the money he wanted. He had all the power. He had everything he ever wanted except Jesus. And he was learning karate from this guy who was a Christian who just kept coming into him and saying, hey, let me tell you, Jesus loves you. None of this matters. And he ended up getting arrested, and in all of that, found Jesus. And I remember listening to his testimony and sitting there thinking, George, I don't have a testimony like that. I mean, I wish I had your testimony. And he's like, Ryan, I wish I had yours. And that just kind of hit me. Because grace wins no matter what the circumstance. No matter how bad you think you are or how good you think you are. You need grace. You need the message we're going to talk about this morning is the gospel. Welcome to Easter, okay? The second greatest season in the Christian faith, right? Robin, if you could play some Easter songs for us, that'd be great. You know, I mean, I love Christmas music, you know, from like Thanksgiving to Christmas. Could we have like an Easter? Oh, wait, that's the rest of the year, isn't it? Yeah, okay, good, all year long. I love you, Robin. See, I make a suggestion. Robin says, we'll do it the rest of the year. Sounds great. What I love is in the Christian faith, we've got two basically big times of the year. You've got Easter and you've got Christmas, right? I mean, those are the two times of the year that people who don't go to church are going to come to church. Why? Because that's just what you do on Easter Sunday. Everybody gets up and they go to church, and then they go over to grandma and grandpa's house or aunt and uncle's house, and they eat and they have the Easter egg hunts, and then they don't have the eggs for a while, you know, and you can't find them, and then 3 months later you find these eggs and you're like, that's gross. You know, so welcome to Easter time, right? So we're going to begin this Easter series. We're 4 weeks out, okay? We're going to begin the Easter series this morning with, to me, what is the most important thing. Every Sunday, Pastor Terry gets up here, and when we go to give the offering, he says we give the offering for two reasons. One, because the gospel is the most important message. And two, because Jesus loves us. And so here's the thing. The gospel is the most important message. So what is the gospel? Does it matter in today's world? I hate it when a doctor walks in and he looks at you and says, I've got some good news and some bad news. Anybody ever got that before from a doctor? Usually he looks at me and says, good news, your blood work looks great. Bad news, you're overweight. Yeah, I am. I think Jennifer and I have found the maintenance diet, by the way. We've been trying to diet for like 2 months. Like, I haven't lost any weight and I haven't gained any weight. Hey, that's a plus. Now if I can just figure out how to lose it, then I know what to eat to keep it off, okay? I'm like, have you ever done that? Like, you're frustrated. Like, you're trying to lose the weight and it's just not coming off. And you know you got a doctor's appointment, so what do? You call them up and say, hey, could we postpone it for a couple of weeks? That's what we've done. We've postponed ours a couple extra weeks. You know, but I've got good news and bad news. Bad news is, and I know this is going to come a shocker to you, our world is messed up. I know. Take a second and let it sink in. It's broken. Do you realize that just last night there was a shooting at a club? One person dead, 12 people injured. Wednesday, was it this past week Wednesday, they had the whole thing in England? Where somebody ran down the freeway out there in front of Westminster Abbey and the Parliament building and all that and killed some people. I've been there. I've stood on that bridge. I've been in that spot. Our world is messed up. There's famine. There's war. There's talks of war. There's terrorism. There's, you know, political and civil unrest. I mean, our world is broken, and here's the crazy thing. Some people don't know it. Some people don't care to know it. But our world is broken. Bad news. Good news, there's hope. Because I believe in a chain breaker. I believe in somebody who can set us free. And I think even for us Christians, we need to experience the freedom that comes from the gospel. Because here's the thing, there's three types of people here every single week, okay? Three types, and here's how I would categorize you, okay? You have the seekers, those people who are just checking God out. They got questions, they're not a believer, but they come to church because they know that that's where they're going to hear about God, because they got questions. They're asking. You guys know people like that at work, in your neighborhood, maybe in your family, who they just continually ask questions about God. They're the seekers. Okay, and then we have the group in the middle that I would call we'll call them the sliders, okay? They've got their fire insurance. They've put their faith and trust in Jesus, but they're not on fire for God. And then you have your sold out. Every single week, our congregation is made up of three different types of people. Every single week, our students up there on Wednesday nights are made up of three different types of students. And you fall into one of those categories this morning. Here's my question for you. Which category are you in? Are you a seeker? Great, you've come to the right place. Because I'm going to tell you about God this morning and how much he loves you, and how much he cares about you, and how much he wants you to be part of his family, how he wants to set you free. Are you a slider? Great, I'm glad you're here. I pray that this morning you take the step from slider to sold out, that you'll walk out of here with a little more Jesus than you walked in with, and you'll walk out of here a little freer than when you came in, and that you'll say, you know what, this week I'm going to make a difference in the gospel. I'm going to make a difference for the kingdom of God. I'm not just going to consume space. I'm not just going to have my fire insurance papers and say, hey, I'm going to heaven. But I'm going to make a difference in the world in which I live in. Because we all three people have a chance to do something. And maybe you're sold out and you're living for God, but maybe you need to start telling people a little more boldly about it. And when necessary, use words. Because how we live our lives matters. The gospel is a pretty amazing story. We're going to look in Romans chapter 1 this morning. It's going to kind of be our kickoff verse. Romans chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church at Rome. So he's writing to Christians. He's writing to a church, a body of believers who say, I identify with Christ. I've put my faith and trust in him. And so Paul is writing to Christians. Always got to remember the context. Always got to remember who these letters were written to so that it kind of helps us figure out, you know, context of the message and why he says what he says. But here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 16. We're going to read 16 and 17, and then we're going to kind of dissect this a little bit, okay? For I, this is Paul writing, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. If our world is so messed up, does the gospel matter? Yes. Is it wonderful to hear messages about, you know, how we can better ourselves and how we can do this and how we can improve and how we can make more money and how we can... Yes. But what matters, what our world needs, is the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to all of those who believe. What is the gospel? Simply put, you ready? The gospel, number one, is the power of God. Have you ever stopped to think about just who the person of God is? Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, it says that God spoke the world into existence. Medium rare steak, baked potato, loaded all the way. Really hoping one day I'm going to pull that trick off and I'm going to just speak it and it's going to be there, you know? But God could do that, couldn't he? God could be like, I'd like a medium rare steak with baked potato loaded all the way, cheddar cheese, and all the calories would be gone. God doesn't have a cholesterol problem. I mean, I would love that. I would love to be able to speak in my words, bring things into existence. That's the God we worshiped this morning. That's the God who's the chain breaker. That's the God whose grace wins every time, is the God who spoke things into existence. And then it says he knelt down and he formed man out of the dust of the earth and he breathed into him the breath of life. Whew. Last time I did that to my girls, they told me I needed to brush my teeth. Okay, that's not the breath of life. But the gospel is the power of God. Do you realize when you and I share the gospel, what we're sharing is the power of God? To do what the verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. It's been dead. It's buried. It's behind you. Behold, all things are made new. Power of the gospel. Is I can stand before you this morning forgiven of not just every sin in the past, but every sin in the future. God's already forgiven me of all of that. I need to learn to forgive myself for those things. The gospel is the power of God. Secondly, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Salvation simply means this: deliverance from harm, from ruin, or from loss. I'm not real sure that I need saving. I have a nice house. I've got a great family. I've got a good job. I come to church on Sundays. What do I need saving from? It's a little four-letter word. It's called hell. Sin is in me. My parents didn't have to tell me how to sin. They didn't have to teach me that, okay? That came naturally for me. Those of you who've had kids, you know what I'm talking about, right? You don't have to teach them to go and sin. I mean, what's the first thing a kid does when you say, hey, don't touch that? They touch it. Exactly. I mean, that's sin. It's called disobedience, okay? I'm the same way. You don't have to teach me to sin. I sin, and because of my sin, I am destined to death. And not just a physical death, but an eternal death. Romans goes on to tell us that for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. Number two, for everyone. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, everyone. It is not selective. It is not just to white males. It is not just to people in America or people in England or people in Africa. It's to everyone. That's why we go on mission trips. That's why we take the gospel everywhere we go. That's why we tell people about Jesus. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone. But here's the kicker. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. It's not a free ticket to get into heaven just because you come to church. It's not a free ticket to get into heaven because you know your parents had a relationship with Jesus. Listen, my parents had a relationship with Jesus. I was in the church since I was negative 9 months old. Okay? So, I mean, I've been in church literally all my life. But that doesn't mean I'm going to heaven just because of that. At the age of 8, I had to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Does that mean that I've been perfect ever since? Nope. Ask my 4th grade teacher. Ask my wife. Ask my kids. They'll tell you I'm not perfect. Can I tell you something? That's what I love about grace. I don't have to come in here like I've got it all together. I put on a bow tie today just because I like bow ties. And then I thought it'd look good with my red shoes because I refound them in my bottom of my closet. And I went, dude, I haven't worn those in a while. I could wear a red bow tie with that. That'd be nice. But I don't have to do this to come to church on Sunday. I don't have to do that to come into this place. Because all are welcomed and all are wanted at grace. I love this church for that reason. I love that we're a family of, in a lot of ways, misfits. And some of you are going, yeah, that's not me. That's the guy next to me. Because I got it all together, Pastor Ryan. I am not the misfit. But man, those people on the other side of the sanctuary, yes, they're the misfits. They're those cousins that we don't like, but we see them at Thanksgiving, right? Okay. Why are you pointing at me? I'm just kidding. Oh, I'm the neighbor. Yes, who's the misfit? Yeah. We've got a couple of those. So here's the thing that I realized this morning when it comes to the gospel and the three people, the seekers, the sliders, and the sold out. The thing that I want you to understand is this. We all have a part of our lives that, for intensive purposes, is the throne. Okay, we have this part of our lives that shows us what's in charge of us. Now, if you're a seeker, you're on the throne. You're the one calling the shots. You're the one in charge of life. I got this. Life comes at you, and it might be pretty good. It might be pretty easy. Sometimes it might be a little hard, but you can handle it. You're in charge. God is nowhere in the room of your life. My prayer this morning is this, is that if that's you, if you're the seeker and you're the one sitting on your throne, you realize that God wants to be the one in charge of you, and that God has a plan for you that is greater than anything you could ever ask or imagine. And when you go through those low moments, God's there with you. When you go through those high moments, God is there with you. But we all have this throne in our lives that will tell us who's in charge. And it will tell us who's actually in control of our lives. Is the gospel in charge? Is it the power of God for salvation to all of those who believe? Or is it me? A seeker, God's nowhere in the room. Okay, the person who's a slider, who's kind of there in the middle, the person who's got the fire insurance, man, I've accepted Christ, it's been a while ago, I was baptized, I'm still living life for me. God's in the room, but they're still on the throne. God, I got this. It's all good, Lord. I appreciate you coming in. I appreciate your grace. I appreciate your mercy. I appreciate you wanting to be in my life. And you're in it. You're in the room. Go, Jesus. Woo-hoo. But God, I got this. Can I tell you something? We can do this every day. We have the choice every day who's going to sit on the throne of our lives. And I'm going to be honest. There are days this is my picture. There are days that the picture of my life would be that God's not in charge. But I am. Because God, I got this. And then life goes to heck in a handbasket. And things go crazy and doctors come in and they tell you you've got bad news. You look in your bank account and it tells you you've got bad news. You go to your job and your boss says you've got some bad news. And life goes crazy and what are we quick to do? God, you got it. Because I can't handle it. The picture of a sold out person is someone who says, God, you're not only in the room, you're on the throne. Now, it's funny, the students this morning, when I told them that we were going to do this, they went, Pastor Ryan, we have toilets that are upstairs in that room. We could bring a throne down. And I went, yeah, probably not good for this morning. I'm not real sure I'd like that to get back to Pastor Terry, that I was sitting on a commode on the new stage. Just might not be good. Yeah, you're fired. Thanks. Appreciate you stepping in for Pastor Terry on that one, okay? But the person who sold out, is someone who says, God, you're not only in the room, but you're in charge. You know, there were some bumper stickers back in the day that said, God is my co-pilot. Person who sold out doesn't have the God is my co-pilot bumper sticker. They got God's my pilot. He's my co-pilot. He's the navigator. He's the head stewardess. I mean, God's the guy checking the tickets at the gate. God's the one who's serving the meals. God's the one who, God is just God and he's got it all and I'm just along for the ride. That's a person who sold out. Question for you. If this is the picture of your life, where is God? Is he nowhere near the room of your life? Is he in the room of your life, but he's not the one in charge? He's not the one sitting on the throne, it's you. Or is God sitting on the throne? And God, you're in control, you're the man. I'll do whatever, whenever, wherever. I'll be your person. Here's my prayer this morning. My prayer is that you'll begin to take a step into one of these different places. Because see, here's the deal with the gospel. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. But here's the beauty, okay? If you're just checking God out, if you're just a seeker, you don't go from seeker to back to slider, okay? You go from seeker to sold out. I'll never forget baptizing Lexi Thompson. What, 3 weeks ago now? 4 weeks ago? And she was jazzed about God. She was pumped about him. And that made me remember the night that I got saved. When I was 8 years old and my dad shared with me the gospel message, and I realized that as an 8-year-old little kid, I needed God to not just be in my life, but to be in charge of my life. And I'll never forget the feeling of running from my parents' bedroom across the house to my bedroom to grab my little children's Bible that had the green edges around the outside and the picture of Jesus holding the lamb. You guys know that Bible, okay? Those of you who grew up in church, you remember that kid's Bible. Picking it up, grabbing it, and holding it to my chest and telling God, I love you, 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 and kissing it over and over again. Why? Because that was the closest thing that I could grasp that would be God, because that was his word. And I remember that excitement. And that Sunday morning got me more excited about God. Why? Because I remembered that I'd lost some of that. As a Christian, we can kind of go back and forth between these two. It depends on the day, doesn't it? It depends on the moment. Every morning when we wake up, we need to say, God, would you be in charge today? God, I don't want to sit on the throne. Would that be your throne? And here's what's amazing. When we do, all of life gains perspective. All of life gains order. And in the middle of the chaos, it's like, oh, there's peace. Why? Because God's in charge. I am not. If you're a seeker, here's what needs to happen. Here's my prayer for you this morning. You need to accept the power of the gospel. Accept the power of the gospel. It isn't about what you do or what you've done. The gospel is what God did for us. The gospel is what God did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. when he paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." Yeah, but Pastor Ryan, you don't know my past. There's no way God could love somebody like me. Listen to verse 17. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved." God's not up there to condemn you about the things you've done wrong. Praise God for that. You know who condemns me? Me. When I look in the mirror and I think, yeah, you're so unworthy. And you know what God says? "You're right, but I love you anyways." Thank you, God, for that. God is our ruler. He is the one that is in charge. The gospel is what God did for us. If you're a seeker this morning, would you accept the power of the gospel? If you're a slider this morning, you don't need to accept the power of the gospel. You've already accepted the power. You've asked God to forgive you of your sins. And here's the cool part. He has, and he's come in to live with you. But he's not on the throne of your life. You are. And it might have been a week. It might be a month. It might have been a year. It might have been a decade that he's been in the room with you, but you've been in charge. And this morning, God is saying, would you let me be in charge? Would you let me be the one who's in charge of your life? Forgiveness is a wonderful and freeing thing. When we begin to live outside of the guilt and the shame of our sin and begin to accept the mercy and grace of God. As a seeker, we need to accept the power of the gospel that sets us free. Listen. David danced before the Lord. Did you know that? In Scripture, when they were bringing in the Ark of the Covenant, it had been with the Philistines for years, and David finally brought it back to put it into the temple. David danced before God. But here's what's cool. David danced before God in his underwear. Okay, I'm not going that far, okay? But listen, here's the deal. When you accept the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy of God, it is life-changing. And you can't do anything but shout, but tell, but be excited about the power of the gospel of Christ. Colossians 1, 26 and 27, one of my favorite verses, Paul wrote this. And he's writing to the Christians at Colossae, and he says this. Here's the mystery of the gospel. God has chosen to reveal the mystery of the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And here's the mystery. Christ lives in you. So the gospel is not just what God did on the cross, but it's what he did on the cross so he could be in us. He could be in the room with us, and he could be sitting on the throne of our lives. That's the power of the gospel. And so if you're a slider this morning, if God's just not in charge of things, this morning, would you accept the power of the gospel? To realize that it is the mystery of the gospel is that Christ lives inside of you and me. The same Christ who was with God the Father in the beginning when everything was spoken into existence. Yeah, that Jesus lives inside of us. And he's there to set us free. If you're sold out this morning, here's my challenge for you. You need to express the power of the gospel. It's not enough just to say, "Hey, I'm saved. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus, for that. I'm good to go. God, you can punch my ticket anytime you're ready. I'm there. I'm good. Heaven sounds wonderful." There are days where I wake up and go, "Heaven would be great today, God." Okay, I remember that. Okay, I remember being a teenager going, "God, you can't come back today." Why? Because number one, I'd never been married, okay? And you know what happens after marriage. So I was like, "God, I want to get to that point, so please don't come back until I'm married," okay? All of you are starting to finally get that, okay? I was a teenage boy, okay? But here's the deal. God can come back now anytime he wants to. And there are days that I wake up and go, "God, if you would do it today, I would surely appreciate it. Because today's hard. Today's going to be rough. Today's been a bad day. Jesus, if you'd come back in the next couple of minutes, I'm okay with that." But see, here's the deal. As a sold out person, we need to express the power of the gospel. We need to begin to let it change our lives from the inside out so that the world around us sees a difference. I'm going to tell you, these Boys Ranch boys that come and hang out with us, and they don't just come and hang, they're serving every Sunday morning. They're in the sound booth and serving. They've been out at the Fair All Week serving. I've gotten to know them over the last several years. And I've seen a change in their lives. Why? Because they're daily getting doses of the gospel. They're daily getting doses of God's love. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need. We need the power of the gospel. We need to begin to share the hope that we have with others. And when necessary, use words. You ever heard the phrase that what you're doing speaks so loud I can't hear what you're saying? Sometimes as Christians, what we do trumps what we say. So, question for you. Does our life line up with the power of the gospel? Does what we do line up with the power of the gospel? I don't like to honk my horn, even when I'm at a green light and somebody has been waiting for 4 minutes and the light's been green. Jennifer will reach over and she honks my horn for me. I'm like, you're going to wear out the horn fluid, okay? It's a family joke, okay? But listen, we all need a little bit of grace, don't we? When we go out to eat and our food is late, do we jump on the server? Is it their fault? No, they're not in the kitchen cooking it. I mean, I will never forget. It was just this past week, and I went through the drive-thru somewhere, and I mean, it was taking forever. And I'm like, seriously? Oh, was that Tithia? Yeah, probably. And it could have been easy for me to just jump down the throat of the lady who opens the window and says, sir, can I take your money? And I give her my money, and then I'm still waiting there at the window. 20 minutes later. And I'm watching the people. It was Steak and Shake in Orlando when we were there. Like, you're thinking Steak and Shake should be kind of at least a little fast. They're not fast food, but they should be a little quicker than 30 minutes in a drive-through, okay? And I'm just watching them, and I'm going, oh my gosh, it's an utter chaos in the back. I mean, I'm thinking I could go back and cook my burger a whole lot faster. You know, I could get this stuff together if they'd let me, okay? But would it help if I was in there hollering and screaming at them? No, but I watched the guy behind me honk his horn like 29 million times. And then he pulls out of the drive-thru squealing tires, like literally right behind me, and I'm thinking the whole way, please don't hit me. And then I thought, if you do hit me, we could get a new car, and that could kind of work out well. And I mean, I could go see Dr. Draney a few more times on insurance, and you know, but wait, don't do that. Don't hit me. But does that really portray the power of the gospel? Nope, you know what does is when that girl opens the window and hands me the food and says, I'm really sorry, I look at her and go, it's okay, I know, everybody has a bad night. Let me tell you something, God loves you. And they look at me and they go, what? Are you serious? Uh-huh. And I do too, thank you for my food. Have a great night. And I drive off ever so calmly. Now, I'm not going to say that the texts I was sending Jennifer were nice. I can't believe you wanted Steak and Shake. I wanted to leave and go find something else at that point, okay? But I didn't. Does the life we live match up to the power of the gospel? At times I'd say yes. At times I'm going to say no, mine doesn't. Today, will you make a move in your relationship with Christ? If you're a seeker, will you make the move to sold out? If you're a slider, would you make the move to sold out? Would you put God on the throne of your life and say, God, you're the man. I'm not. You're the one in charge. I'm not. If you're sold out, would you make the move to speak out? Would you begin to pray for one person that you need to invite to come to church on Easter Sunday? We'll have two services Easter Sunday, both in here. One at 9:15 and one at 10:30, just like normal. There'll be a time of fellowship in the sanctuary, if I'm not mistaken. We're working on putting all that stuff together, but there'll be two services. Would you pray about who you need to invite to come and be here at church? That's an easy deal. Pastor Ryan, I'll be happy to invite them so they can hear you and Pastor Terry tell them of the gospel. Not a problem. We don't mind doing that. You continue to live the gospel out in front of them, because guess what? They're going to come and talk to you about the gospel. You know why? Because you have the relationship with them. But begin to pray about who you need to invite. Would you make a step this morning to, if you're a seeker, move to sold out? God, I'm all in with you. If you're a slider, would you make the move to sold out? God, I'm all in with you. If you're sold out, would you begin to say, God, I'm ready to speak out? I don't have all of the answers, God. I don't know everything. But God, I'm going to begin to tell somebody, simply put, Jesus loves you. Because the gospel is this. It is what God did for us. Don't get stuck there, because too many Christians get stuck with, it's just what he did. He paid for my sins. I'm good. We're done. I got my fire insurance. And we never move to the fact that it's what he did for us so that he could be in us and then live through us. That's the power of the gospel. Would you pray with me this morning? I don't know where you are in this journey and in this relationship with Christ, but I'm going to ask you to just get alone with God and tune everything else out. Where are you in your relationship? Are you a seeker? Are you a slider? Are you sold out? This morning, are you willing and ready to make that move? Are you willing to take that next step towards God? Because here's the deal. All it takes is one step towards God, and he comes running with arms open wide, ready to put you into a big bear hug and say, I love you. I'm glad you're home. If you're here and you're just checking God out, let me tell you how this works. It's pretty simple. All you do is say a prayer. There's nothing magical about the words. There's nothing specific about the words or the prayer itself. It simply says this. God, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. And I need you. Would you come into my life? Would you forgive me of my sins? And would you be my Lord and my Savior? If you prayed a prayer something like that this morning, we're not here to embarrass you. We're not going to sing 29 verses of Just As I Am and wait for you to walk down the aisle. But I do want to pray for you. Nobody's looking around. It's just you, me, and God. If you prayed a prayer like that this morning, would you just simply put your hand up and put it right back down for me just so I can pray for you? Awesome. Amazing. Let me tell you, the next step would be believer's baptism. Come and talk to me afterwards. God, I thank you for these hands, Lord. I thank you for these people today, God, who've raised their hands and said, God, I'm going to move from somebody who's just checking God out to somebody who's going to be sold out. I'm ready to give you control of all of my life. Lord, I pray for them. Would you help them as they begin this journey? And as we walk beside them, God, would you help us? If you're that slider this morning and you need to move into that sold out person and you say, guess what? I'm ready for God to not just be in the room of my life, but to be in charge of my life. Would you say, Pastor Ryan, would you pray for me? Would you just simply put your hand up and put it back down? I want to pray for you this morning. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? God, I thank you that you're moving in the hearts and lives of people. God, I know that it has nothing to do with me or the worship or the words or this place. But God, it has to do with your Holy Spirit, because your word says that when you be lifted up, you will draw all men to you. And I thank you for that. You are the chain breaker. You are our life giver. And Lord, this morning I pray for these, God, who've said, you know what, I'm tired of just God being in the room of my life. I want him to be in charge of my life. Lord, I ask that you would help them this week. Satan's going to attack them. He's going to do his darndest, Lord, to discourage them and to beat them up. But God, would you strengthen them? Would you encourage them? Would you let them know, number one, they're not alone in this? God, we just want to be quick to tell you how much we love you and how much we thank you for this morning and for our time together. For it's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming and being here this morning. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would come. This is going to be our time to receive our tithes and offerings. If you're a first-time guest with us, this is your time to fill out the the little tear-off piece here, fill that out. You can put that into the offering plate. If it makes it past you, you can put it in one of these gray boxes that are at the doors, and you can drop it off there. But this is a great way for you to just let us know that you are here, but also a way to communicate your prayer requests with us. Let's pray over the offering real quick. Lord, I thank you for our offering this morning. We ask that you would just bless it. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing in our church. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our community. And God, it's not about us, it's all about you. God, I pray that you would help us to be good stewards of the finances, of the time, of the resources, of people that you've given to us, Lord. And we ask that you would receive all of the glory in all we do and in all we say. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. While our ushers are taking up the offering, a couple of quick announcements. Nothing there. Okay, good. Pastor Terry's life group tonight is not going to happen. For those of you who are in the right life group, they're not going to meet tonight. Pastor Terry is obviously not in church with us this morning. I probably should have started off with that, because some of you might have left early, and that would have been fine. But there's some announcements in the bulletin. I want to ask you to make sure that you check this out. Today there is some barbecue dinners. We've got about 20 extra dinners. If you didn't buy a ticket, we do have some extra meals. They're $8 a piece. You get barbecue chicken. There's some green beans, I think, some baked beans, I think, and a roll. You can pick those up to go. The youth have kind of been back there since I've been preaching, making to-go boxes. So if you've got your tickets, you can swing through there and grab your to-go boxes. If you decide, hey, I just want to eat here, the youth have set up the fellowship hall for you. There's some tables in there. There's some sweet tea, some unsweet tea, some lemonade. You can go in there and sit and fellowship together if you'd like to do that. That is not a problem. Go by and pick up your plates. Let me just tell you something amazing about this. We charged $8 a ticket, but we got all of the food donated to us. Every bit of it, which is amazing. So we make 100% profit. So we've made over $800. We sold, as of Wednesday night, 111 tickets, which is phenomenal, okay? Now, let's put that into perspective. That means four students could go to camp for almost free. That's amazing. And so I just want to say thank you to our church, and I know it's not just our church, but our kids worked hard. Our community is an amazing place to live, and I know people can say what they want to about Palatka. I choose to live here, okay? I'm not from here. I'm a transplant. God said, move to Palatka, and I said, are you sure? No. I said, yes, God, I'd love to. And guess what? I love our town. I love going to the fair. I love seeing the people at the fair. I loved watching the hogs and everything that was going on this week. I loved seeing people and hugging on necks. Man, I love our little town. And you guys are so giving. Thank you from the bottom of my heart as the student pastor here. Thank you for loving on our kids and providing for them to be able to go to camp. I appreciate it. The rest of your bulletin, if you just want to look at them, there's all kinds of announcements in there. Thank you so much for coming and being a part of Grace this morning. I pray that you have an amazing week. Would you stand, and I'm going to dismiss us in prayer. Lord, you have been amazingly, abundantly awesome in this service. God, from the worship, Lord, to the message, to the time we're getting ready to have fellowshipping, God, you have done some awesome things in our hearts, and we still want to shout and say thank you, God. God, we still want to give you the honor and the glory in all things. And so, God, as we walk out of this place this morning, God, would we be different than when we came in? Lord, as we walk out of here, God, would you change the lives of the people we come in contact with? From restaurants to wherever it is we go, God, would you change people because of the power of the gospel that's alive in us? For it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you all. Have a wonderful week.